Welcome. Please be seated. If you're visiting us for the first time today, we hope you enjoy our service. Please feel free to sign our guest book at the front entrance if you haven't already. And everyone's invited to join us downstairs for coffee and tea after the service. Please see your bulletins for this week's announcements. Just make a special note of our service tonight, as well as our service on Christmas Eve. Both begin at 7 p.m. So today is our children's Christmas pageant, and we're going to begin right away with Sean Montgomery and a monologue from Charlie Brown's Christmas. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the houses of Israel and Judah.
Mary has shared her joys and struggles with Elizabeth. They have supported one another in their faith journey.
Thank you. Let's join now in our first hymn. We're singing verse 4. It sounds like we're doing the Christmas carols. I'm picking verses here. We're going to sing verse 4 from Hope is a Star 119, because today's theme of Advent is love, and we want to sing that particular verse about love. 119, Hope is a Star. Thank you. Please be seated. Come before the Lord now with our prayers of adoration and confession, and followed with the Lord's Prayer. And this week, as I was preparing for this, I got the prayers and thoughts that came to mind was for us to remember our baptism. And last week when I went over to the font, many of you noticed when I lifted the lid, the bowl wasn't in there, so good thing I didn't pour water down into the empty font. So we'll avoid that for this morning. But I do want us to remember our baptism. I want us to remember that God's love reached down to all of us at the time of all of our baptisms, and reached down and forgave, renewed, and refreshed us in so many ways. As we come before the Lord with this time to pray, to thank God for the many things that we have, to confess the times when we've slipped a little bit in our walk, we want to remember the love that God has given us through our baptism. Let's bow our heads. Stir your power, God, and you have truly come at this moment in our service today. You're here with us, Spirit. You set us free by the righteousness of your birth in our midst, which is Christmas celebration, by the light of your face shining upon us, by dying and rising again from the dead, forgiving us, bridging the gap. You have become a friend, our salvation, our pathway. And so, Lord, we come before you in this thought. There have been times, Lord, when we have to come before you just like this moment and ask for your mercy and your love. Mary's story today that we'll be reading about, the pageant, all of that's going on in our service, reminds us of the promise that you've given us of your love, reminds us and calls us to reflect on our lives and how we have been walking with you, Lord. Have we been walking in your love? Well, Lord, I know that there's times we haven't. There's times when we haven't acted in the love of Jesus in our lives. There's times, maybe, Lord, when we should have said something to somebody or given somebody a word of comfort, and we chose to hold it back. There's been times, maybe, Lord, too, when we've acted in a way that's been not becoming of that path you call us to, that reflection of Jesus' love in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us. Help us, as we've been saying, to remember this baptism that's taken place, a renewal of our soul and our spirit. Help us to be constantly trusting you, Lord, when we do fall away. We thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. We thank you for the promise of love that Jesus gives us this very day. And Lord, we now join our hearts together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, God is really, truly for us. He is not against us. And for that very reason, God sent his Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So we can believe the good news. In Christ, we truly are forgiven. Amen. We have a special music presentation this morning, and I'm going to call upon Aunt Hannah this time to play for us. Thank you. Very good job, Hannah. And I'm noticing so much improvement. She's been playing for the various years, and it's just getting so much fuller sounding. Yeah, very good job, very good job. Thank you so much. Wow. I'd like to hear that. That's just lovely. We'll be moving into the reading of scriptures this morning. And as we do, I'd like us to just take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Mighty One, you scatter the proud and you fill the hungry. By your Spirit, let your word leap within us and bring to our yearning this joy and love that comes with new beginnings and renewed lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our response of Scripture today is found in your Psalters at Psalm 80, verses 1 to 7. And this will seem almost a kind of odd psalm to be reading on the fourth Sunday of Advent as we're moving into Christmas week. But we have to understand some of the background again to this particular psalm. This is a psalm that is full of blissful anticipation in so many ways. It's talking about the people being restored to where they were. This psalm is typically written, understood to have been written the time that they were, the people of God were in Syria at the time, and the Assyrians had taken them captive. They didn't see this as the Assyrians' problem. They saw it as their own, that God had pulled them away and took them into a far-off land as a form of almost punishment. So they wanted to become back to God. They wanted that promise of God's love to be fulfilled within their lives. And this is why this psalm is picked on this particular Sunday, because we're anticipating the return, if you like, the coming back into the house of God through Christ. So let's read responsively Psalm 80, verses 1 to 7.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon Sharon, shine forth for Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your might, and come to save us.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
Bread to tears, and give them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, and may be seen.
Thank you, Todd. Another thing I might point out in verse 5 and 6 that we read about, particularly 6, you make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves. It's that chutzpah again I've talked about that's often used in the Psalms for prayer. In other words, God, everybody's laughing at us. They're really kind of laughing at you, so you have to restore us. You have to help us out. We don't want to look bad on you, kind of thing. So it's a very personal prayer, but personal in the sense that it's very honest. It's saying what's in the heart. Restore us from where we once were. Our next reading is our Old Testament reading taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to the first half of verse 5. This too is a prophecy, if you like. It's a discussion of who is coming. And in this particular case, Micah is talking about the coming of David in so many ways. That's where there's a reference to Bethlehem there. And we also see this as this Advent time, a time when Christ is coming. He is in Bethlehem in the same way, from the same line as David, from Judah, from David himself. So let's read Micah chapter 5, beginning at verse 2.
For you, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the end of the earth, and he shall be born of peace.
Thank you, Sean. The little one of the clans of Judah, the greatness comes from something very, very small. And we think of small town Bethlehem in so many ways, and this little child that comes into the world to renew us. That's some of the referencing there. Our New Testament reading is found in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, and that's found on page 224 in your New Testament part of your Bibles. And Hebrews, if you take the time to read through Hebrews, a lot of the center part of what's written there is a great long discussion about what Christ has done in almost theological kind of terminologies, in the sense that he is the propitiation for our sin and so forth. These kind of bigger words are used. The idea being that they're trying to, as I mentioned before, explain for the Hebrews, the Jewish people, and for us to understand this Holy of Holies concept that we've mentioned that at Easter time we remember the curtain that gets torn, the big heavy curtain about this thick that sat between where the Holy of Holies room was, and in there was the Ark of the Covenant. It contained the Ten Commandments. This was the presence of God, and they were separated from this. Christ takes that curtain away, is what Hebrews is telling us, completely, and brings us directly into the presence of God that no other person could do except one time a year when the priest would go in. And Hebrews talks about that very thing, when the priest would go in and deal with the sins of the people at one time. Christ takes that all away for us. He builds that new thing for us. He builds that new bridge. And this scripture is talking about the promise that God has coming ahead for us at this time in Advent and Christmas. So here read now, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. And Madeline? I'll hold the microphone for you, okay? Where do you want to stand? Let's stand where people can see you. Okay, come on over here. There you go.
When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sin offerings. You have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me when you said, 'Give me the desire, nor taking pleasure in sacrifice.'" The offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He polishes the fire in order to establish the sentence. And it is by God that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all.
Thank you, Madeline. Good. Thank you. Very good. You got a preview of what's coming for the pageant, I think. Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 39. This is before John and Jesus are born. We've kind of backtracked a little bit from what we were reading about with John the Baptist. It is the fulfillment of a promise, and it's sort of the first time that John's actually active in his talking about Jesus coming, because when Mary walks in, as we know the story, John moves around inside his mother because he's so excited that Jesus and his mother have come into his presence. This is the fulfillment of the promise that God has given us, the promise of God's love and God's redeeming grace. Beginning at verse 39, Luke 1. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child of my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God. We have another piece of special music this morning. And Carly, you can come on up and share what you have for us. Just give me one second to get this going. Oops. Sorry. Good, Carly. Thank you. We have lots and lots of things happening today. I'm so excited. We're going to join now together and sing our next hymn of praise, Emmanuel, Emmanuel 114. And we'll be getting all our, you'll hear shuffling at the back. Don't worry about that. We're getting ready for the children to come forward with the pageant time. But let's join together now in 114, Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
We are doing a story about the manger before marriage.
Elizabeth has arrived. We would like to start by singing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Zechariah's donkey came. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on tired donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary, but there was no room at the inn. "Where will my baby be born?" Mary asked. "Come inside, kind ox," called the tired donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." The tired donkey brought Mary up to the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night. Please join us for a lay in the manger.
Thank you.
That's it? Okay. Well, we'll get the lights on so everybody can see all the boys and girls, and we'll get them all to stand up if anybody wants to take another picture. Yeah, let's do that. Guys, do you want to stand up? Can we all stand up? Can we stand up? Can we stand up so everybody can see us? Everybody stand up. That's it. Good job. Good job. So let's say thank you again, everybody. Good job, boys and girls. Thank you very much. Yeah. Good job. Okay, you can all head back down to the back, and I'll get out of my ox costume, and we can carry on with the rest of our service. And then, lovely angel, you can take the sheep. Good job, guys. Okay, cool. Oh. Hot. I want to thank as well all the grown-ups down at the back and who are corralling the kids out, because they did such a lovely job putting this together. I know that it's been a difficult year in so many ways with the Sunday school, that lots of people have pitched in to help us, and you can see we've got quite a gaggle of kids now going on, and this is just a lovely blessing for all of us and certainly for all of them. I also wanted just to say this. Often when we do a pageant like this, I talk to different people, obviously different ministers and colleagues that I know, and, oh, just parading the kids up to the front, you know, it's just entertaining the grown-ups mostly. But we don't know what goes on in the minds and hearts of these little kids who sit there like this most of the time, it seems. But the Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God works when we include our children. The Spirit of God works as we include them in this promise of love that God has for all of us. God's promise of love is fulfilled in so many ways, the way God richly blesses us. At this point in time, I'd like us to return a portion of that to God and prepare for our offering. And during the offertory, Carly will be playing for us this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
gracious Lord, you bless us so richly, and this week is a portion of that blessing in return to be used to your glory. Bless this, Lord, and bless its way that it reaches out into our community through this congregation and the work that goes on here. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I wanted to just say before we begin our prayer that this is the third Sunday that we've done this kind of a different service. It still follows the general format, so to speak, that we do use here at Burlington East Presbyterian, but we've relaxed it considerably. It's not just for the children's pageant, but we've had sort of a family time over the last 3 months, and it's been nice, I think, and that gives an opportunity, as I said, for our young people to participate in what we're doing here in worship. I get up and I lecture very often, it seems, about what's, I think, something that's been weak in many congregations over the decades, in the past decades. And that one particular issue is we have our children in Sunday school and we have very good programs for them. They go all the way up and into their teens often. And then that's it. They come in here. And it's quite a different structure to walk from the classroom environment where they're coloring and playing and singing and having a great old time to come in here and sit with all you people quietly in your pews with your hands folded, which is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. But we need to expose them to this environment of worship that's different than just a classroom environment, is my point. And I'm so glad that we're able to do this with our children. We're nurturing them in their faith. And it's important that we do these things. And I'm so glad that we're behind this and we've been, you know, supporting this as we go. Prayer is a responsibility that we have. It's a gift that we have. And it's a blessing that we can give and receive. But it is, first and foremost, I believe, a responsibility for all of us to be praying all the time. Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing very often, those exact phrases. So, as we're praying for our community and our world, you're going to do this similar to what you did during the children's play. I will say, hear us, O God, and your response to that will be, your love is great. Very simple. Your love is great. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, you reveal yourself to us in so many ways, and especially through your Son, Christ, especially through this beautiful story that we've heard told a little bit different today. But it's the story of your coming into this world incarnate, flesh-like. Lord, you give us through this relationship that you build for us the responsibility of prayer. It's a sacrifice of prayer, it's referred to often. It's the honor of prayer, and it's a loving act in prayer. So Lord, as we gather this morning, we're praying for different things and different people and different situations. Hear our prayers, Lord. You know, we know you answer them, but we need, as your Spirit guides us, to offer them up. We pray for our community, Lord. We pray for the church and the world, those in need. We are confident that you know our deepest thoughts, Lord, on this matter. And as we try to articulate them in prayer, we just want to hold them in faith and trust to you. Hear us, O God. Your love is great. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who gather on this day all over the world in house churches and storefronts, on reservations and townships and communities and among immigrants and hospital chapels and prisons and people who are dying. Wherever church is found in frontiers of mission and service, people are meeting today. And Lord, we hold that power of that worship time together. We want you, Lord, to strengthen not only us and move in our hearts, but across the entire church, no matter where it may be this day. Hear us, O God. Your love is great. Lord, we pray for the earth and all creatures on this earth. There's so much going on. There's talk about global warming, and there's talk about species disappearing, and there's talk about water and air and pollution and all these different things. We're here as stewards in so many ways, Lord. And we're not always meeting that. So we pray for our world. We pray for our planet in that sense, its physical capabilities. Help us to respond accordingly and heal this world and take good care of it. Hear us, O God, your love is great. Lord, we pray for an end to violence and oppression and injustice. We pray for all who sing with Mary a song of joy for deliverance. Lord, we pray for all people who hear your promise of good news, your promise of love. We pray for the peacemakers in our world, that you can strengthen them, encourage them. And Lord, we pray for governments that hold at the heart of their work the needs of other people otherwise invisible. Governments that are making decisions, Lord, that affect people who don't always get noticed by the governments. We pray for the government to have guidance, wherever that may be, that the leaders in the different levels of government can be acting by your moving of your spirit in their lives in some way. Hear us, O God. Your love is great. Lord, we also pray for the Mary and Joseph in every land around our world. And there are people who we can see in the story of Mary and Joseph, having to travel far, having no place to go, having no home, in the darkness in some cases. All of the sort of things in that story can play out. There's an enormous responsibility raising children. There's an enormous responsibility, whether they're biological, adopting, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, congregation members. We're all part of that raising children in a world often, Lord, that doesn't have room for them. I thank you that this congregation is actively making room for our children today, actively appreciating that little spark of faith that could be born today in one of these children. And so we pray for all of them. We pray that your light, your love can move and shine through all of them. Hear us, O God. Your love is great. Now, Lord, we also pray for those in our midst today who are feeling alone, feeling tired, maybe not feeling that well physically. Not only in our midst, Lord, but those who are from our midst in hospital or at home today. Help all of us to feel that healing move of your spirit, to shine a light where there is darkness, to have that hand of comfort when there is no comfort, and to have that healing spirit where healing is needed. Hear us, O God. Your love is great. Lord, we thank you this morning for this service, and we thank you for your love. We thank you that you hear our prayers, and we thank you that you have this given us this gift of prayer. And we hold all of this up in the name of Christ. Amen. And we're closing hymn today is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And I know we're missing one, but we're going to hold that for later. We'll get a presentation done by the Haramules at a later date, and I'm looking forward to that. But let's join together now in our final hymn, number 371, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the Christ that we anticipate at this Advent time. This is the Jesus that is born this week, and we remember this birth in our Christmas season and our Advent time. This week is our final week of Advent. We're moving into Christmas week. We continue to prepare our hearts to receive the risen and born Christ. Now may the love of God be with you, the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you always, and the love of Christ, the promise of God, be with you now and always. Amen.